Hello, my name's Terence Hogarth from the Institute for Employment Research at the University of Warwick. Here at the University of Warwick Institute for Employment Research, there has been a long-standing interest over the past 30 years in the relationship between the operation of the economy, working practices, and investment in education and training. Having spent so long observing the labour market, you get a feel for what is going on and how events are likely to unfurl. But amongst those of us old enough to remember the recessions of the 1970s, 1980s and 1990s, events following the 2008-09 recession have not followed the expected course of events. If you'd asked me in 2008, what would the economy be like now, as we near the end of 2011, I would have provided a long answer with lots of caveats and qualifications, but I do not think I would have expected it to be quite as it is presently. With sluggish growth well below the long-term growth trend, but with relatively low unemployment rates, all things considered. If one looks back at the recessions of 1974-5, 1980-81, or 1990-92, there was a common pattern. The fall in output was followed by commensurate falls in employment and a rise in unemployment. Once growth in output recommenced, and often the upswing was quite sharp once the recovery started, employment levels rose. Unemployment fell away. The unemployment rate rose to 12% in 1984 and 11% in 1993, but at a comparable point in time following the 2008-09 recession, unemployment had not shown the sharp upward trend previous recessions would have predicted. Unemployment rates hovered around the 7-8% level. It should be noted that the fall in GDP during the 1980-81 recession was of the same order of magnitude as in 2008-09. But unemployment levels currently have a long way to go before they reach the peak observed in 1984 following the recession of the early 80s. It needs to be said at the outset that the 2008-09 recession was different in many respects from those which the UK economy became used to in the 1970s and 1980s. The recent recession has its roots in the bursting of the house price bubble and a lack of access to capital, which combined to dampen investment and household expenditure. Previous recessions had much more to do with the overvaluation of sterling and high interest rate. Moreover, the 2008-09 recession was a global phenomenon. But this is an insufficient explanation for the observed trend in employment and unemployment over the last couple of years. A possible alternative explanation lies in the flexibility of the UK labour market. Arguably, during previous recessions, employers had fewer measures with which to deal with a dip in their order books, other than to make workers redundant. It should be remembered that when skilled workers who were laid off proved difficult to return once the upturn started, this then had the impact of slowing the rate of recovery and contributing to the next downturn. Now, with flexible working patterns, flexible working hours, and work-life practices more generally becoming commonplace, employers have the option of reducing working hours, offering career breaks, providing extended leave, and such like, rather than an immediate recourse to issuing redundancy notices. Whilst employer reluctance to shed labour during the recent recession has much to commend it, and this needs emphasising, there is a potential downside. If employment growth is likely to be sluggish over the medium term, a view shared by many forecasters, and employers have been holding on to their employees despite a dip in orders, they may have little need to rehire new recruits, trainees and apprentices, at least over the short term. To some extent, this has already been reflected in the relatively high youth unemployment rates compared with the recent past, observed not just here in the UK, but across many EU countries. This has implications for future skill shortages, when the recovery in the economy gathers pace, and employers find that they have no one in position to replace their retirees. Hence the vital importance attached to employers continuing to invest in trainees and the importance of programmes such as apprenticeships to secure the long-term competitiveness of the UK economy. It also points to the importance of individuals investing in their own education and skills so that they're able to take advantage of opportunities which will eventually emerge in the economy. But how you bring all this about is, to say the least, a taxing issue for policymakers.